are the excellent news, white records, as well as contemporaneous press accounts that currently corroborate this claim of Kristi Camusso that she was revoked at the executive mansion by former Governor Cuomo last year. That's right, and it's important to back up your story and just note how we got to this point, right? Because back in early August, the Attorney General was issued in his office released that bombshell report detailing the allegations of 11 women sexual harassment and inappropriate conduct by former governor, and almost several weeks later, of course, on August 24th, former Governor Cuomo's resignation did indeed take effect. So what happened in the weeks since then? Saw local prosecutors begin to open up potential criminal investigations into some of these allegations that had been in the report, and they used that report as the basis for moving forward with these investigations. Multnomah County Sheriff Craig Allen did a whole conference and months back now at this point, kind of laying out how the investigation is going to be proceeding. There are some wrinkles in that case, though, including what Albany County District Attorney David Source said in statements, and it essentially surprised that this criminal complaint had actually been successful. Right, and we should know that the governor is facing a range of legal troubles right now, the former governor, that is. That includes investigations by the federal government into how nursing home deaths and fatalities were reported by his administration during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's now part of a criminal probe by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn. At the same time, for the last several weeks now, we have also been awaiting the report from the Assembly Judiciary Committee that had been out of an impeachment investigation of now former governor. That had been reportedly bringing in a range of issues. We do know from Republicans who sit on that panel that potential illegalities were found in the course of their investigation, but that report is yet to be released. Yeah, it's been a pretty wild last 48 to 72 hours in New York State politics, to say the least. A pretty wild last 20 months or so, I think it's fair to say. One investigation that the current Attorney General's office is currently conducting, actually, is into the potential use of government resources to help former Governor Cuomo write his book about the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a memoir about his experiences during that public health crisis in netting him a $5.1 million book contract, but the governor reportedly, and according to some sources, did indeed use government officials to help him put that book together. So the Attorney General's office with Comptroller Tom DiNapoli is reviewing that case. But as you mentioned, Jody, this all comes as the political season is also getting underway. Letitia James did announce earlier in the day that she will be jumping in the race for governor. That is going to be facing the incumbent governor, Kathy Hochul. That is going to make for a very interesting next couple months until that June Democratic primary here in Boston. Right, the initial news is actually broken by a website, by a news site called New York Focus, and that had a source saying, telling them essentially that this criminal complaint had been filed in Albany City Court, and that of course set off a scramble among myself, other reporters to try to confirm this news, and ultimately it was confirmed that a criminal complaint had been filed in Albany City Court, that was confirmed by the Office of Court Administration, kind of a statewide entity that oversees all of the courts in New York. But the backup community of all of this had, I'm going to take all of this newspaper, that there had initially erroneously and then prematurely a summons had been filed. And that would have been apparently filed in the state, but we do expect to hear from Apple, I'm sure Craig Apple and Merrill will.
Good afternoon. My name is Craig Apple, the Albany County Sheriff. Thank you for coming out. I apologize for making you drive out to Clarksville, but things get a little restricted down in Albany and stuff parking and everything else, so it's a beautiful day for you to come out and check out the rest of the county. So kind of run through a series of events that led up to yesterday. I can take some questions, but I will not be able to get into a deep dive into the facts and circumstances of the investigation. As you know, early August, we received a complaint and a report was placed on file from a young woman who worked for the governor's office. As I said, that following Saturday, our investigators were going to conduct a very comprehensive and methodical investigation. We were not going to be rushed and we would not be delayed. So over the course of the nearly 4 months to follow that, we have done just that in a very comprehensive and methodical investigation. Our investigators have sifted through hundreds of documents, if not thousands, executed several search warrants, and interviewed numerous witnesses, including our victim. As a result of all that information, a packet was sent down to Albany City Court for review. As a result of that review, a criminal summons was issued. I will back up and talk about the review. That's standard in police work. Drop the information off. They'll review it. If there's any questions, they can call. Normally takes a little bit of time. This came back at a relatively accelerated rate, kind of caught us by surprise as well, and needless to say, the document was then released to the media and posted online. So sometimes in police work with investigations, things don't go how you want them. You've got to be ready to pivot, and that's exactly what we did. So a criminal summons was issued. I would have liked to, at that point, had a deeper conversation with the district attorney. I would have liked to have reached out to Ms. Glavin, Como's attorney, and explained what was going on. But needless to say, the document was signed, the document was leaked. So again, things don't always work out as planned. So that's where we are today. Mr. Como is scheduled to appear November 17th in Albany City Court, at which time he will be processed and assumingly released. Any questions?
You say it was accelerated. So it was meant to go this way, just was revealed publicly earlier than you had planned?
Much.
You had intended to speak to the victim. You had intended to speak more on
the day. We had numerous conversations with the victim, but we would have liked to have presented everything, sat down with the DA, explained exactly what we had. I would have also had a courtesy like to reach out to Ms. Glavin and explain what we had and what the next processes would be. But again, things change and it doesn't always work out as planned.
Do you have those conversations today with the victim and with the DA?
We've had conversations every day with the victim. I have not spoken to the DA today, no.
Do you have any reaction to what the former governor's spokesman has been saying, that you're in on some conspiracy against him? And he just said a few minutes ago, it's like, you're the fruit of the poisonous tree. What do you think about that?
Listen, this is how they play. I mean, you guys have been in the business. You've seen some of the tweets that come from Mr. Azzopardi, come from the governor's office. Listen, this is my job. I'd rather they throw it at me than throw it and re-victimize the victims over and over and over. So I've been doing this a long time. I've been called much worse.
Sheriff, when Rita Glavin called one of your associates in counsel's office and asked about your re-election, did you perceive that as threatening and or threatening the investigation? And also, as a different question, what do you think it will take to get Andrew Cuomo convicted, and why do you think this case will not go to trial, as we discussed earlier?
Well, as far as the election comment, I have no idea what that is. I don't know if they were trying to muddy the water, saying that this was an election ploy or something to that effect. I don't know. You know what? People always try to distract away from the real, the real investigation, and so I'm not really concerned about that. We have a solid case. Our investigative staff did a marvelous job. I'm very proud of the work they did. Again, they took a very high-profile investigation. They methodically broke it down, and I couldn't be more proud of them. They executed a lot of search warrants. They went through a lot of data. And I would also like to say thank you to Davis Polk Law Firm down in the city. They were a very valuable and substantial asset to us during this, as well as New York State Attorney General.
And what will it take to have Mr. Cuomo convicted? And again, do you think this will go to trial? Why or why not?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know if it'll go to trial. I think we have an overwhelming amount of evidence. We have a victim who's been cooperating fully every day, every step of the way. As far as a conviction or something to that effect, that's really going to come down to, is it a jury, is it a judge, and as well as the district attorney's office.
Sure. Can you talk a little more about what happened yesterday? Is this basically a miscommunication that occurred? And also, can you talk a little bit about the evidence in this case? I know in that one criminal complaint, there was a list of things, but is there anything additional that you should be aware of?
I don't really want to get into do a deep dive on the weeds on the investigation and the facts and the circumstances of the case. As far as miscommunication, I don't want to say it was miscommunication. I will say that, again, we did not anticipate a quick return like that, nor did we anticipate everything would be posted on the internet. And again, and just out of common courtesy, we would have liked to have made some notifications.
Sheriff, two questions for you. One, you said a criminal summons was issued. Who does the issuing in that case?
Is it city court judge.
The city court judge, yes. And that happened how soon after you filed?
5-10 minutes.
It was that quick, and that's unusual?
It's relatively unusual, yeah. Again, the internet knew about it before I even knew about it. I was in my office, I received a phone call, and looked on the internet, and it was posted on the internet. So that was a little bit problematic. I think it was improper. But again, sometimes things don't go as planned, and you've got to just roll with it and get ready to pivot and move on.
And another question. So the complaint lays out a very specific day and a very specific time frame where this happened. The Attorney General's office struggled to nail that down. What was the breakthrough there? What allowed you to determine that day and that time?
I got great investigators.
I mean, is there any particular piece of evidence that helped?
Well, again, I think there was a great focus on that date in the Attorney General's report. But if I recall, and you look at the footnotes, it goes on to say the victim is unsure of the exact date. And I think that was, everybody just seized the opportunity to say it's impossible this happened because of that date. That's not really accurate. So again, we executed a number amount of search warrants. We had great participation with Davis Polk, and we were able to narrow it down and come up with the time frame.
Sheriff,
both today and back in August, you you had mentioned that it's really important to not re-victimize the victim at the time. Executive assistant number one was anonymous, but between now and back then, her identity has been made public. What would you say the effect was? Did it make the investigation more difficult now that the layer of protection that you had for the victim had been lifted?
I don't think it, well, yeah, it did make it a little harder. But again, this person wanted to seek justice and has been with us every step of the way. A number of calls have gone back and forth. And listen, this has got to be very traumatic for her. It's easy for me to stand up here and talk about it, but I'm sure it's not for her. And again, you know, we didn't want to, we just handled this like a normal investigation. And it's a misdemeanor. And misdemeanors aren't normally sat down and conferred with on every case, or there'd be no justice. So we handled this like we handle every investigation. And again, I want to put an emphasis on our victim cooperated every step of the way.
Sheriff, sorry, you just said that you're working with, or you had worked with Davis Polk, the law firm. That's the law firm that's also working with the Assembly Judiciary Committee on
their
investigation.
Correct.
Have you been working with the State Assembly as part of their investigation on this?
Not the State Assembly, but the investigators from Davis Polk. We've conferred with them. We've had to share some information back and forth with them. They're a very valuable asset for this investigation as well.
Based on the information they generated out of that?
Some of the information they generated as a result of their investigation, the information that our investigation, and then we were sharing. And of course, we had the New York State Attorney General's report as well.
Sheriff, since the summons was issued, have you talked to the district attorney? Do you have his commitment that he's going to prosecute this case?
Well, I feel very confident that the district attorney is going to prosecute this. And yes, I did talk to him yesterday afternoon.
And how did that go? What was said? What can you share?
I can't share any of that.
Sheriff, you said that you were conducting your own investigation. This is a misdemeanor. You don't always consult with the district attorney over every misdemeanor, but this is obviously a little bit unusual in that it is, you know, a misdemeanor sex crime against the former governor. Why not just consult with the DA before bringing the charges?
Well, again, it's not that we didn't want to or tried to avoid that. We figured we had some time when the paperwork was down at Albany Police Court. That was not the case. And again, you know, it's unfortunate that it came so fast, but again, things in criminal investigations don't always go how you want. So again, we had to we called the DA, we had a conversation, and then we'll probably be meeting next week to go over. We still have to turn all of our information over.
Did you have any conversation with him before you filed about whether or not they would be able to prosecute the case?
I had a conversation, no, not about prosecuting the case. I had a conversation with him a few days prior.
And when you sent down your investigator to submit the paperwork, it was her intention to file the case, correct?
Yes.
Thanks.
Sheriff, with bail reform laws, the clock is now ticking down to 15 days that prosecutors and the DA have to turn over evidence they've gathered on their own investigations into Cuomo. By moving forward and not having those conversations with the DA, do you feel that it's compromised any broader investigations or charges the DA could have brought forward?
No, nothing's compromised at all. Again, our investigators did an incredible job on this. They spent a countless amount of hours, weekends, nights, sitting in here just sifting through, you know, pages and pages of information that was received as a result of warrants. And the clock has not started ticking because he has not been arraigned and will not be arraigned until the 17th of November.
Can you walk us through kind of, you know, what happens on November 17th and after that?
So, and again, that date is a date that is relatively fluid. I'm sure Ms. Glavin could probably reach out to the DA or the judge and change that date, move it up, move it back. You know, it's that date was set by the court. But at that date, Mr. Cuomo and his attorneys will come up into the City of Albany Police Court. He'll be arraigned, and at that point, he will be processed probably at our headquarters in downtown Albany.
What happens if he doesn't show up?
It's my hope that he shows up. I don't, you know, think he wouldn't.
In a vacuum, a non-formal governor doesn't take their court appearance.
At that point, you could have a criminal arrest warrant issue. That would be up to the judge. The judge may reach out, give him another opportunity. But at that point, I'm sure they would
You said you're very confident that the DA will prosecute this case, but did the DA indicate to you that he might want to, you know, have the charges taken back, maybe refiled? Did they indicate they have any other charges that they wanted to file?
I don't know anything about any other charges. This charge, the information, the evidence that was obtained, this charge fit. You know, again, we didn't want to muddy the waters and throw a bunch of charges out there and see which one sticks. This charge fits the allegation, and it fits the evidence that was obtained by our criminal investigators.
Any reason why an indictment wasn't made yesterday to kind of seal the deal
again,
here?
This is a misdemeanor. The DA is conducting an investigation. He has an investigation separate and apart from mine. And again, we told the public that we will conduct an impartial investigation and a very comprehensive, and that's what we did. We did not rush this. We did not delay it. We took our time and we went through it. And again, they did a great job with it.
Would you say that your investigation is definitively over at this point?
We have a couple housekeeping things to keep in, put back in place. And again, people could call tomorrow with some new information. So I don't want to say that the door's closed and we've moved on. I would say that, you know, we're going to sit back a little bit, see if any new information is generated. Every time that the media runs something on it, we get some information, some we can use, some we can't use. Some is just background information, but I would not want to stand here and say we're done and, you know, we moved on.
Previously, you said your office served subpoenas on the executive mansion and the state capitol. Did you serve any subpoenas on individuals? And how many?
We didn't serve subpoenas. So. We served search warrants.
Okay.
But I really don't want to get into discussing any of the facts around that at all.
Chief Alton said that they were not involved at all. At any point, would you need their assistance?
If they have something to offer information, sure, but at this point, no.
When would you have wanted that summons? I mean, this, it went out sooner than you would have liked. When would it, what was your goal to have that? When was your goal for that summons to go out?
Not yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I can tell you that. I mean, how long, I really don't want to get into that.
I think you had mentioned on the radio this morning that you had some sort of meeting scheduled with the DA for the next week. Were you hoping it was after that?
The signing of it after that?
Well, just, I mean, anything. The signing of it, the fact that it gets public. I mean, were you hoping to brief the DA at that meeting before it came up?
Prior to that, yes. Yeah. And again, out of common courtesy, I would like to reach out to Ms. Glavin and let her know what was going on. You know, we kind of got sandbagged ourselves, and I feel that... you know, I kind of felt bad about the way that it all happened. But again, the way it went down has nothing to do with the case. The case is a very solid case. We have great information that was obtained. We've met our burden as far as probable cause, and we have filed. So whatever and however it went down, again, I would have liked to see it go differently, but it did. So here we are.
We talked about this in August, and I'm going to ask you the exact same question again. How can you ensure the public that the motivations behind your office's actions were not political in nature?
I don't even know what that means. You know, I've been accused on Twitter all night about this is a political hit job. Why? How? How is this? How is the Albany County Sheriff doing a political hit job? That's ridiculous. We are an apolitical organization. Maybe you folks aren't from the area, but the people in the area, they're pretty sure that it's not a hit job. We do our investigations. We're a very professional agency, and I took an oath. And we took a complaint, and we followed through with it, and we did like every other police department and sheriff's office should have done.
Devil's advocate, not saying it makes sense, but you're elected, so there could be some mental gymnastics involved there that could connect political ambition of some sort.
I'll worry about that when I announce my re-election.
Is anything that happened yesterday could complicate the case going forward, i.e., Could it be something that is used by either the defense or by the prosecutor to end this case?
No, not at all.
Sheriff, you mentioned that you had communicated with the Attorney General. What sort of communications did you have with her, and how recently before the filing of the documents were there?
That I didn't communicate with the Attorney General, the Attorney General's staff, their investigators.
About?
Their report.
I see, and just to confirm, when you generally have different cases, not this one. Is it your usual practice to file charges with the court without consulting with the DA before you actually put
the... If we consulted with the DA on every single misdemeanor case, there would be no justice in this county. Arrests are made every day. Arrests are made in this department every day without me knowing about it. Again, would I have liked to? Absolutely. But I couldn't. All right, everything moved too fast. So again, sometimes it doesn't end up how you want it to. But needless to say, as far as the case goes, it has no effect on the case. The case is a solid case. Our victim is cooperative, and we're moving forward.
But you would have liked to have been able to consult with the DA before the charges were made?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would have liked to. Yeah.
In a cosmic sense, can you say personally that it's important that justice is served in this matter, not because this person was an elected official, but in spite of the fact that this was a powerful person at one point?
Daryl, we handle every investigation the same way. Are there a few variables that come into play sometimes? Yes. We knew everybody would be watching this investigation. You know, I would get calls on a daily basis. You know, when is this arrest going to happen? And we're like, we don't even know if there is an arrest. You know, we have to go through the information we have. We try every single investigation we conduct the same way. And our primary goal is to protect people and protect the victims, the complainants. And it's important to do that. I think there's been enough trauma dispensed throughout this entire, you know, circus since it started. And I give these women a lot of credit, but also, you know what, we had a job to do and we did it.
Sheriff, would Attorney General Letitia James have known that you were going to file this complaint before she decided she was going to officially announce to run for governor?
No, I have not spoken to the Attorney General. I have not discussed with anybody outside of our staff that this arrest was going to take place and the filing was going to take place.
Aside from how information was disseminated yesterday and maybe or maybe not the anonymity reveal, is there anything that you would have liked to have seen differently as far as the execution from beginning to end with the investigation, the media even?
No, not really. I think everybody was fair. I mean, I'd get calls from media on a daily basis. Every Monday I'd get a text from Bernadette, you know, where are we? But I think, you know, all in all, we did exactly what we needed to do, and we had the resources to do it. I got calls from our legislators, you know, if we needed anything. I've spoken with the county executive if we needed anything. We knew this was going to be a big undertaking. We knew it was going to be a relatively expensive undertaking. But again, you know, what do? You put a dollar on the person, you know, that's filing the complaint? You can't do that.
Sure.
We're an agency that I think has proven itself to take care of people, and that's what we did here, and we're going to continue to do every day.
Sheriff, do you know if the summons has been served on the governor yet?
No, it has not.
It has not? When do you expect that to happen?
Probably early next week. We were actually just talking about it a few minutes ago.
And what happened in that situation? Is it Albany County Sheriff's Office that would serve that summons?
We'll speak to Ms. Glavin and figure out a way to, you know, I don't know if it's going to be just him or if it'll be to her. We haven't really worked that out.
I mean, with that, I think you used the word arrest, but I think you may have been responding to an important question. Is arrest an accurate word to use in this situation? I mean, is the governor going to be placed under arrest at some point?
Yes.
Yes.
You mentioned it being an expensive undertaking. Can you give a figure on how?
I haven't even gone there as far as, you know, totaling anything up. And listen, this is, we're only at like stage one. So there's a lot more to come. So I don't know. But again, listen, you can't put a value on somebody filing a complaint. So we did what we needed to do. We did it professionally and thoroughly, and I'm very proud of my staff and the support that they were giving.
Sorry, not to belabor this point, but if you wanted to, you know, have this moment to converse with the DA, why not have that conversation before you filed the documents?
The documents, initially we thought the documents were going to review. All right, so it's very simple. We thought we weren't expecting a 5-minute turnaround. So we got a 5-minute turnaround.
But
we had a meeting scheduled with David, and needless to say, we couldn't have it. And we have a criminal summons. So again, I've said it 1,000 times. You know, we didn't plan it, but it's the hand we were dealt, and we're going to deal with it.
So you filed the summons and a complaint. Were there any other documents?
We filed the paperwork looking for which process we should follow. Would they want to issue a criminal arrest warrant or a criminal summons?
Mm. Okay. Were there any attachments to any of those documents that would be... Because yesterday we got copies of the summons and then a bunch of other documents they said they couldn't release to the public. Why is that, and do you plan on releasing those pre-November 17th?
No, I didn't even want that summons released. I think it was improper that it was released. I don't agree with that at all. And again, we could have put the brakes on everything had that not occurred. But needless to say, it was posted on the internet, and here we are. So we had to kind of pivot and move on. But I don't think those documents should have been released until after an arraignment. And I just, that's my opinion. I think there's a lot of other people that agree with it, but it happened.
Right, and that decision ended up getting kicked out to the Office of Court Administration, like all the way up. So do you think that there was some politics going on there, or why did the decision get kicked all the way up to the top of OCA?
I didn't know it did.
Okay. Because when reporters got to city court, they were told to contact headquarters to get the documents.
I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
I think the document got leaked initially to another news outlet, and everybody else saw that, and then everything broke loose from there.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.